this is Tony Lloyd. Being a broadcaster for many years, I've witnessed some great stories in the music industry, and now I want to bring as many music stories to you as I can in this series of podcasts. My goal is that they will inspire others making their way in the music world.
Music Stories with Tony Lloyd.
Stuart Brayson, welcome to Music Stories. How are you?
I'm very well, very well. Nice to be here. Lovely to be here.
Now you're
lovely to be anywhere.
Yes. Lucky. Welcome to be alive. Now you are a composer of musicals and other things, and at the moment, something you composed for is the show From Here to Eternity, which is on in the West End of London. We'll talk about that in a minute. But what I'd like to do before that is talk about you and how your music career started, and then we'll go on to talk about From Here to Eternity, of course. So, you know, how did getting involved with music, and especially composing music, which is a very complicated thing to do, how did that all start for you?
Well, fundamentally, I started off as a frustrated, or trying to be, whatever you want to call it, rock and roll guy, pop singer. So I started off in a band and playing the guitar and writing the songs. And I'm from the northeast of England. So it was at some point when I was about 17, 18, having to make that jump to get to London, leave all my family behind and try and hit the big time in London. So kind of like it started off with me in a group singing and playing all the nightclubs, doing all of that kind of stuff. But somewhere down the line, found myself being drawn towards the theatre in the music as much as the songs, as much as being, you know, a singer and telling stories, I suppose. So somewhere down the line, I ended up having my first little sort of ideas to try a musical out. Could I do this? Could I do that? And at that point in time, which is kind of when I think back, it's probably, when was it? Late 80s, early 90s, I ended up meeting Tim Rice, and Tim Rice took a great interest in my band and my songs, and we became friends. And from then onwards, I kind of mixed in his world as well as the pop world. Mm-hmm. So I had one foot in theatre and kind of one foot in the rock and roll business. So, and I found the theatre business just fascinating from day one, that it seemed to make sense to me to try and do stories with song. So that's kind of a long-winded answer to your question, but it was kind of came from an accident. It wasn't something that I kind of set out to do when I was a kid or anything. I never, ever thought one day I'd end up writing musicals.
And tell me about some of the early stuff that you wrote.
Well, the early songs were kind of very, I don't know, when I look back now, when I listen to my earlier work, I can hear the influences, obviously, but it was always about melody, and it was always about, there was theatre in the song. So we were kind of what was called New Romantics. So it was kind of glamorous, and the visuals thing was very important in the songs. And so I wrote a lot of songs that were telling stories, were titles from movies I would take, come up with different concepts. There were always concepts behind things, so you would dress up to fit the idea of the song. And they were really kind of still work, actually. I did a show just before lockdown called Too Dumb, and Too Dumb was an excuse for me to try and get a lot of these songs into a new show. So it was kind of like a jukebox idea. Mm-hmm. But they were songs that people hadn't heard, but they were from my past life, so to speak. And we tried that out in Brighton with a college down there, the Rodine Theatre with Brighton Academy, and they did a fantastic job. And it was lovely to hear all those old pop songs again, but performed by 17-year-old kids. So it's something I'd like to return to. But it's been a fascinating journey from pop music into theatre.
And do you write the lyrics as well as the music, or just the music?
I kind of do. I do a lot, because when I was in my band, obviously, I wrote the words and the music, and I'm just kind of never stopped. So writing theatre for me was always about the lyric and the music. So I kind of do both, really. But this, with From Here to Eternity, that's the rare exception where I've because I've obviously got some guy that's pretty good at writing words,
Tim well, Rice. Rumour has it, yeah.
Rumour has it, he's got a future. And so kind of we went in a different path with that. But a lot of my lyrics were involved in that show too and then ended up being revamped or changed in slightly...
Did he say, I'm going to change that, I'm going to just cross that out? Did he have a red pen,
Tim Rice? It wasn't so much a red pen, but it was it was always about the story, because we've done quite a few versions of this show now. So when we did it a few years ago in London, it was a different telling of the story. It was a bit more, I suppose, a bit more frothy, a bit more, there was more cast. It was a different concept, whereas this new version is very slimmed down. Mm-hmm. It's kind of an economy version. So you have to change the songs to fit it and lyrics and whatever to tell. It's the same story, but you have to tell it in a different way.
Okay. I'll get you to describe what the story is in a minute, but I've got a few notes here. It says that the show's based on a 1951 novel by James Jones. You wrote the score for this revamped version, as I say. It's a mix of blues, swing, big band and rock and roll numbers. The Financial Times are rumoured to have said the show has half a dozen numbers that bring the house down. And there's a warning that goes with this that says the production contains suicide, excessive or gratuitous violence, scenes of a sexual nature, death, blood, flashing images, discrimination and offensive language, and more. Wow.
Yep, and that's just the first half.
Okay.
So now, it's kind of real. It's a real story. So that's the... I mean, most of the shows that I've written over the years and other musicals always tend to have a protagonist that's kind of an outsider who's a bit kind of misfit. I love those characters, and it always tend to come out in my work. So Pruitt is the ultimate. I was called the main character in From Here to Eternity, who was played in the movie in the 50s by Montgomery Clift, who was brilliant as Pruitt, as a kind of like the quintessential outsider. You know, he's kind of a dangerous, dark, moody, wonderful mess up, you know, and... So it does. This story is all of the things you've described earlier, that we do have all of those things in the show, but there is comedy in it too. But it's kind of real. It is real.
Yeah.
And it was based on James Jones' kind of life in the leading up to Pearl Harbor. So it's kind of it kind of happened, really. A lot of it did happen. He just changed the names of the characters. But it's based on loosely on real events.
And what is the story?
Well, the story is kind of, the way we're telling it, because the book is about 400 or 500 pages, so we couldn't obviously tell all of that.
Yeah.
But the section we're telling is the 2 weeks leading up to the Pearl Harbor attack in 1941. And it's very much based around this new guy coming into the camp, G Company, who is the Robert A. Lee Pruitt character. And you see it all from his perspective. They kind of want him to get involved in the boxing squad. He's a great boxer, but he doesn't want to box. He's a great bugler, but he's not bugling. He's one of those characters that just will not fit in. But he's one of the best soldiers around, and you see it all from his perspective. The 2 weeks leading up to Pearl Harbor, so we know this is going to happen. But we see all the things that are happening on the base, which is his command officer's having an affair with another. The wife of another officer. He falls in love. Pruitt falls in love with a prostitutes, best way I can describe it, in the local kind of brothel. So you get all of these things going on, and it's just all spiraling out of control in the 2 weeks leading up to, and then obviously Pearl Harbor happens. So we get all of that as well. But it's a fascinating story. And again, as I always say to people, it's not like other musicals where you go to the West End and they're kind of frothy and. Which is great, but this has got a realness about it, a toughness, and hopefully some good songs. And it's British, so you know it'd be nice that people could get along to see it and support it.
It would. Well, with all those adjectives I read out earlier, I think people would be fascinated already.
I think it's very brave as well of Tim Rice to get involved in something like this, because I don't think he's kind of. I mean, apart from Evita, he always says it reminds him. Of Jesus Christ Superstar, the sense of it is controversial. It does get a reaction like that. that he got in those days. And it's also because people forget that when he started out with Andrew with Superstar, nobody kind of wanted to have to do it. They didn't want to put it on. It was kind of, it's not going to work. And then somewhere down the line, they found an audience, and we know what happened there. And I think Eternity does have a similarity in that respect. Mm. The only difference is not many people know me and everybody knows Tim. So you're kind of walking in the shadows of, you know, giants, as they say. Mm. Yeah. And well, he's tall as well, so he is a giant.
He's a big chap, you know. Do you think?
But it's
Do you think that the show will move on to other theatres after December this year?
Well, the idea was always, we tried it out in town a few years ago. Again, we got really good reviews, but it was finding the right theatre and also the right version of the show. I think I think we were a bit too ambitious the last time. Though people loved it, and you know, the album came out and did very well, but with this version, I think we've slimmed it down and made it more cost effective to run. And I do, you know, everybody knows what we're going through at the moment. Everything's about money and economics, and it's difficult to run anything in the theatre world. So I think now the show is doable. So I think there's more of a future for it, this version, because it's. Not it doesn't cost like £8 million or something, which the last one kind of went silly.
Golly. And for you in the future, have you got something else in the pipeline? Are you going to collaborate with Tim Rice again in the future?
Well, I'd love to work with him again, and I've come up with a few ideas, and he's keen on a few of them, and I think mainly maybe to support them, because I'm quite prolific and I've written a lot of other stuff, so I think he will support my other shows, not all of them, just because he likes me or whatever. I think there's some good stories, some good ideas there, but I'd love to work with him on something else, but it's kind of, it's a big undertaking for him, I can understand that, and we just have to see. But yeah, I've got a few other things going. I've got this great rock opera I've been working on with a really great singer who I've known for years called Ruth Kenser, and she's terrific. I mean, she's just got an incredible voice, and I met her quite a while ago and I hadn't seen her for a long time, and then we've kind of got kind of friendly again and talking and all of that, and she's just got this 4-octave range, which is staggering, really.
Wow.
And so we've been working during the summer on this rock opera idea, and we kind of finished it. And I'm very excited about that. So we're going to have to find the way of bringing that through and trying something out. But it is very much like it feels like it needs a concept album or something to launch it. So it's early days for it, but it is terrifically exciting. So hopefully we can get that going. And I've got some other shows I've got this show on in Ireland, they're trying out, and we're going to do that next year, which is a great story. And I am from the Northeast, and I've got a musical they're trying out up there in Newcastle. So it's kind of
busy.
Good times. It's been very busy, but I think really it's because of we lost 2 years with COVID that I had a lot of things going before that, and then just sitting around for 2 years, not that I sat around, but like everyone else, just not knowing what the future was going to be for in this world. I know so many people who kind of just packed it in during that period in the arts because it was, how are we going to make, it was hard enough to make a living before that.
Yeah.
So it's
the last thing the business wanted, wasn't it? Yeah, absolutely.
It's difficult anyway, especially for me personally. I do new work. I mean, that's all I do. I just write new things. And getting new things off the ground is so, so difficult at the best of times. But then you get 2 years of nothing. And then you've got to start all over again. But that's life. But I'm really fortunate that I'm able to do what I love to do. And so I'm kind of one of the lucky ones.
What advice would you give to somebody listening to this who's trying in the music business to write their own stuff, either musical lyrics or both, as you do? What advice would you give to them? Because you know everybody's struggling in the music industry.
Yeah.
And probably always will. What advice can you give?
It is a struggle. Well, the thing is, if it's just the advice I was given when I started out, which is if you can do something else, this was more in acting because I've had a crack at that as well. But it's like, if you could do something else, then do it, because it's going to be really tough. But the thing is, if you love doing it and if you really have a passion for it, you're not going to listen to anybody anyway. You're going to do like I did. I didn't let anything get in my way. And I just kind of never gave up and never stopped. And hopefully you refine, you improve. You need luck. Mm. There's no getting away from it. You really do need a break and you need some luck, whether you're the most gifted musician, lyricist, composer, whatever, singer. I've seen so many people who have so much talent over the years just not get to where they deserve to be. And you see other people who do and you go, where's mm-hmm. the sense in that? Mm-hmm. But it's just the way it is. And I think my only advice would be just don't, what my mother always said to me, don't give up, don't quit, keep going. You never know what's going to happen tomorrow.
That's very true and very good advice. And thank you for that. I'm sure you've enthused people listening to this podcast to carry on and not give up. Stuart Brayson, thank you so much for talking to me. Good luck with the show From Here to Eternity on now at the Charing Cross Theatre in London until the 17th of December. And we'll put the website so people can find out more information about that as well with a text on this podcast. And it sounds like because you're so busy, we need to have another catch up in, say, a year's time, because I bet you've got another show on the road at that point.
Well, I hope so. And it'd be lovely to speak to you again. And thank you so much for taking your time out today to speak to me. It's been really good.
Music Stories is a free podcast with no fees paid to contributors in the hope that it'll help and inspire others in the music industry. Get in touch if you've got a story to tell. If you would like a professional podcast made or would like training so you can do it yourself, I can help. Go to tonylloydradio.com.
Music Stories with Tony Lloyd.